Welcome back, everyone, and especially to the last session. Today, we're looking at stronger foundations. If you're online, we'll just give you a little heads-up warning. We are going to stop halfway through this session and change translators. Woo! Interesting. If you're listening in English, it's fine. But we're also translating in German simultaneously. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. We've been speaking about stronger foundations, and I hope you've been getting a lot of revelation. And particularly, these are important things. The most important things are often skipped by people in a hurry to do something. But God knows what's important. And I'm sharing things that I feel that is important in this particular time. And I hope you hear in my heart, we don't have a lot of time left. But we need to use it wisely. And God is going to create some special situations for every one of us. And we can learn lessons in these last days much quicker than we've ever learned them. But we have to be willing to go through some complicated situations. So please be ready for anything that God confirms. He wants us to do something and get ready for his appearing. James wrote this in James chapter 1, verses 2. I'm reading to verse 8. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James 1, 3 to 4 says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. And do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. You need perseverance in trials. I've been speaking to you about striving. I hope you've learned how to strive. You have to strive to enter into the narrow gate. and pass your test, so to speak. Your faith is so valuable. It is so valuable that it needs to be purified and fully developed. That may not be your priority. Your priority may be to have the finished building, as I've said during this meeting today. You want to get the building up and finished. But God's ways aren't man's ways. He is the master builder. He's not building like we would in the natural. He knows what's important. And in the new covenant, it is not necessarily about rights and wrongs. Now the new standard is, are you in Christ or not in Christ? That's the question. And if you're not in Christ, you're going to be condemned. In fact, you're condemned already if you're in the flesh. But you don't have to stay in the flesh. You can get from the flesh to Christ or the Spirit. If you're in Christ, you're doing what Christ says by the Spirit. If you're in the flesh, you're doing what you want when you want. So don't deceive yourself. Some people do. They say, God has given me a free will. Yes, He has. But not to be Lord of your own life. That would be contrary to the rest of Scripture. Jesus is Lord. So if you're using your free will as a license to sin, then you will be condemned. But you've got a chance to repent now. The day of no repentance has not yet come. And the judgment is at the end. So everyone will get a chance to repent until the last day. For those of you who are in Christ, then there is no condemnation. None. So what does that tell you? It should tell you to stay in Christ. It should tell you to learn. Whatever gets you out of Christ is wrong. Don't be tempted to blame anyone else. No one can sin for you. Even the devil cannot sin for you. You have to first of all be drawn away by the lust of your flesh. James explained that. Then you sin. It's your desire to go to the flesh that puts you in the flesh. The purpose of conviction is to show you anything that is contrary to Christ. And that can happen anywhere. That can happen before you get out of Christ. You will be convicted anytime, anywhere. It's much easier to deal with something when it's very small or minuscule. When God convicts you of a heart motive that's wrong, it may be very annoying, but you need to adjust your attitude. Because when you deal with it at the heart level, the seed level, that's the best time to deal with it. If you allow that seed to germinate, it will produce a great tree. Something much more complicated to deal with. God is the master builder. So you have to let him decide what's important and what's not important. We have to trust him with our whole life, but we also have to trust him to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. I highly recommend that you look carefully in the verses in Philippians chapter 2 and ask yourself this question: am I working out my salvation in fear and trembling? If not, why not? Is there something that you have a problem with working out your salvation in fear and trembling? Are you one of these people who think that is not necessary? When I was first born again, I thought a lot of things were not necessary. Anyone can decide this is not necessary, that is not necessary. But who are you to decide? God wants you to learn from your mistakes, of course. He can cover your sin even, so you don't even come out. Just so you can see a heart motive that's wrong. But when you are determined to obey the lusts of your flesh and do what you want, it's serious. If you ever find yourself in the flesh at any time, you really have made a lot of mistakes. So please ask the Lord about that. It is possible to live in Christ, and God can help us. You may need more than one or two trials to help you learn some lessons before you can obey perfectly. But in Christ, you have everything you need. So trust and obey. Those who pray for more patience, get trials and difficulties. God seems to answer that prayer with trials and difficulties. Let's look at the Message Bible, James 1, 2 to 4. The Message Bible, James 1, 2 to 4, says this: consider a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. I've said this many times. I believe God is faithfully transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. Those born again, if they believe, they can benefit from his wisdom in any situation. God is not holding back. But everything we receive is by faith. So if you begin to judge or doubt or even judge yourself, you can't receive. You may have to deal with the reason why you don't even ask God for wisdom and favor. If you don't ask, you don't receive. So why don't you ask? He wants you to ask. Make sure you work on some of these small issues. Let's understand this. He knows the end from the beginning. That's in Isaiah 46 and verse 10. If you know that, you know you cannot you cannot match that wisdom. The only way you're going to get that kind of insight is to ask. And he will gracefully show you the way. I don't believe you're going to ask. I think part of the problem here is that people don't strive. They don't strive on the narrow way. And when we mean strive, we mean asking God more questions. There are many questions I never asked God until I started repenting, seriously repenting. You can do the same. The aim is for your foundation to be changed. Your foundation at the moment may be using your natural mind to make decisions. That foundation is not from God. God's foundation is asking Him everything because you trust Him with all your heart. So there's got to be a change from you using your mind to asking God everything. James here wrote that if you do this properly, then you will not want anything in this life. You will not be deficient in any way. Everything you need will be there. And what you don't need will be added at the right time for the sake of your spiritual foundation. The most important priority is for you to have a foundation that is strong enough for what's coming. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 8. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 8. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6. wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Again, Peter was writing to those scattered in the persecution. He was speaking about the abundant mercy of God and has given us a hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You can have that same hope. Man was created in the image of God. And he was created to serve him with many adversaries. One of these days, if you qualify, you may actually be able to rule over many cities. There are conditions. And if you meet those conditions, you will be given that job. I can't imagine ruling over one city, let alone many cities. A lot of things are going to have to take place in your life and my life if I'm going to qualify to rule over many cities. It's not going to just happen because you claim it's going to happen. Some serious changes have to take place in your life. One of them is to understand what Jesus did, and that he acknowledged God in all his ways, and that's why he never sinned. He had the opportunity to sin. He was tempted like us, but never sinned. Peter was writing to the church here and he said, you're going through manifold temptations. And the word here, sorrow, is referring to sadness within their own hearts. Because they knew that they had missed God's best. They knew by the Spirit they missed certain appointments. And that they had lots to learn. But they still had this hope. I hope you have the hope, not based on the fact you're born again, but based on the fact that God's abundant mercy is there for you when you confess your sins and you start learning from them. I believe you should be deeply sorrowful when you miss an opportunity to obey him under pressure. You can have an assurance, a real hope, based on the fact what God does now in complicated situations. Sadly, today, most put themselves in a complicated situation. They do that by getting in the flesh. God uses everything. So yes, he can use that to teach us something. However, Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book, My Sheep and My Voice, talked about God delivering him into complicated situations. He believed that if God delivered him in, God would deliver him out. And this was building in him a hope, an assurance. Not a hope that fades, but one that grows. The hope that you have should be growing every day. You should be living more dangerously, prepared to be in a more challenging situation, because each time you're getting closer and closer to the situation where you will be changed and ready for his appearing. If God can deliver you into something, he can deliver you out. That's what you need to learn. The situation you're going through today may be the same as you've always done, but the pressure or the circumstances in which you do it can change. Every one of us has to learn to do our job under pressure. That is normal. The best, the most professional people can make anything hard look easy. Joseph Hedgecock taught us this, that if you really want answers, you have to talk to somebody who makes it look easy. But if better than that, to find somebody who makes it look easy when it's not easy, that's the better situation. Ultimately, if you have faith in God, you are working on your relationship with him to the point that you have a confidence in his ability through the Spirit to direct you. You are not the one who determines how he speaks to you. You do your best to hear the details. But in times, he may use other people to direct you because you are dull of hearing. My question is, how will you be in the first resurrection without experiencing his saving power now? That may not be your priority, but it only works, this process only works through the purification of your faith. So God's priority is your faith being purified so that you're ready for his appearing. Jesus said this in Luke 17, 32 and 33. Luke 17:32-33. Verse 32 says, remember Lot's wife. Verse 32, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever lose his life shall preserve it. Jesus told his disciples to look up. In this teaching, he reminds us to remember Lot's wife. You know what happened to her. She looked back. She looked back when destruction was coming. There were things maybe in her heart that she was still holding on to at the time. Now is the time when you're supposed to be looking up. There should be nothing in this world that you're concerned about. If there is something you need to look at, the Holy Spirit will tell you. But that's all. Your focus should be on your own personal relationship with God. Do not get distracted. You have to lose your soul to gain it. Your priorities have to change. During COVID, many things manifested in the body of Christ that shouldn't have done. People were listening to conspiracy theories. People were holding on to things in this life. Those of us who have a good relationship with God had a great opportunity to apply what we've been learning all this time. And that was to hear God's voice and just do what he said. Recently, that pressure has gone away, but it's not going to go away for long. I believe God is very gracious for the sake of his people. He wants everyone to have a strong foundation where we are functioning correctly in the kingdom of God now. And if we do that, we will save our lives. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there's any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul's situation was not very comfortable, but he gave us some practical instructions here. Maybe you've never done this study before, but I highly recommend that you meditate on those things listed here. The subjects in Paul's list in verse 8 are fairly broad, but you need to look up maybe some words. You need to make sure you keep within the guidelines of these words. Something can be good, but it's not something you need to be thinking about. You need to be thinking about things that he says meet these conditions here in Paul's list. This was probably the most important part of this teaching. You can have the peace of God, and you can have it for just a short time and lose it. You will lose it by thinking. That's how you lose it. You are thinking about your own personal circumstances. And at that point, you have lost the God-given peace that is vital for you to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Thinking is dangerous. You need to be happy with God's choices in your life. The one who's going through humble circumstances is exalted. The one who's comfortable and everything's there, he is being humbled in God's eyes. Because the one in humble circumstances has an opportunity to grow quickly. This is at least what James said anyway. You should be happy with God's choices in your life. And whatever those choices are, you will have the grace to do his perfect will in that situation. Everybody has to do their part. I make sure I do my part, and I pray for others to do their part. I have to be faithful to the end like everybody else. If you have made that decision to do his perfect will now, you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul's life, like I said, wasn't very comfortable. But he did explain that the way he was living was correct. It was righteous. And the kingdom of God was always with him. He said, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them." That's a pretty bold statement. But he learned them from our Lord Jesus Christ. He had established Jesus Christ as functional Lord of his life. And some of those things had to be learned. Some of them just can be received. But somebody like Paul was there to help the rest of the church. And he said, if you do that, the God of peace shall be with you. There's no substitute to doing and following the instructions from somebody who's faithfully on the narrow way. Sometimes it requires childlike faith. And this can appear foolish to those with a confidence in the flesh. But like I say, if you're following Paul's example, you'll never lose the peace of God. The peace of God is vital for you to be able to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, this is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Something was going wrong in Timothy's life. He certainly had a good relationship with God at one time. He was able to not only hear God, but obey Him. And he did that before many witnesses. So one time he had that simple relationship of hear, trust, and obey. But he wasn't striving. In verse 12, the word fight is the same word strive that we read earlier. If you compare verse 12 with Luke 13:24, it's the same word. So in effect, Paul was telling Timothy to strive. When Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, he didn't mean strive with human effort. You might start that way. Fair enough. But you soon find it doesn't work. If you're born again, you have access to the gift of eternal life. And it's the privilege that you can ask God any question on any subject. And God will give you the answer. May not be the answer you want to hear, but He will give you the answer you really need. And you have to believe. If you believe, you can receive. The gift of eternal life is not just living forever. Many are deceived. They haven't really studied the Word of God. But the gift of eternal life is the privilege that you can get to know the Father and the Son in a personal, intimate way. John 17:3. So please look at that verse if you have any doubts. Look at it in the Amplified. It's a gift. Cannot be earned. I can tell you I enjoy that gift. It worked for me when I was striving. It worked for Joseph Hedgecock when he was striving. And he was trying to obey God. And he said, God, I don't understand. You said. And then God spoke to him very clearly. And God answered him correctly according to His word. And he heard the voice of God clearly way beyond his maturity at that time. What was he doing? He was striving. Striving to obey. If I'm striving on the narrow way, I'll get answers. If I'm striving on the broad way, I won't get answers. Your faith slowly dies on the broad way. After a while, it stops working when the grace runs out. You might have a few isolated examples of miracles. You might hear God now and again. And Timothy here was told to lay hold on eternal life. You have the gift of eternal life, but you haven't laid hold on it. Instead, you keep using your mind to make decisions. You haven't laid hold of it because you're holding on to something else. As soon as your life comes under a bit of pressure, you start to realize, that's what I'm holding on to. The devil has built his lies in the church through people who use their minds to come to the truth. And one of the things he has clearly messed up is what is eternal life. So let's make sure, if you've not done it before, that you lay hold on eternal life. You need to make sure you're following Christ with your whole heart. Not part of your heart. When you begin, your heart may be wicked, as I've said, but God takes care of that. Your heart, He will deal with. He will try the reins of your heart. He is in charge. You're not only supposed to trust Him with your whole heart, but trust Him with your salvation. Maybe you never did that. You never actually trust Him with your salvation. It's amazing how people have not done that fully. If you trust Him with your whole heart, then God is going to deliver you consistently in situations and help you out. If you're not trusting God with your whole heart, you are the one giving room for the devil. The Bible talks about the devil getting a foothold. From what I've seen of the devil's work, if he gets a foothold, he will not be satisfied with just a foothold. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Samuel Chadwick was a lay preacher who lived between 1860 and 1932. He served as president of the Wesleyan Methodist Conference 1919, short-lived. He was also the principal lecturer at Cliff College near Chesterfield, England. And this is what he said. The man who thinks he can know the Word of God by mere intellectual study is greatly deceived. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. Refuse to believe lies that God gave your brain and expects you to use it. If you want excellent results, then you must discern things spiritually. Whenever Samuel Chadwick sent out those he was training in ministry, he would always say to each one, go and may the devil go with you. Many did not understand that statement. Samuel believed that if the young men sent out would trust and obey the Holy Spirit, they would be victorious and no harm would come to them. He also believed that if the devil did not turn up at their meetings, they had become ineffective by listening to their own carnal desires. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Gifted and talented leaders today do not see the need to ask God the small things. They have chosen ignorance instead, because they want to be in control of their personal lives. They're serving the lust of the flesh and even despise correction in many cases. In the early days, I used Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to help me to gain an insight into the situation in the body of Christ. I was convicted by this scripture. I'm sure you were. It says, trust God with all your heart. It says, lean not your understanding. It's doing that all the time. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, if you're doing that right, he's going to direct your paths. Not the devil. You're not going to make the decisions yourself, because that would be contrary to this verse. So look at the fruit. In this particular case, I would ask the question in the early days about this verse. And the question would be, do we really need to ask God the small things? I would even make it practical, like saying, do we really need to ask God what socks to wear? I got an amazing response in that period of time. It kind of shocked me a little bit. It woke me up to the real situation in the body of Christ. This was at the very beginning. Because most people who heard that basically said, well, no, you don't need to do that. God's given you a brain, you just decide everything yourself. So I realized that I wasn't the only one with that problem. I needed to know and work out my own salvation. So that was about 30 years ago. Today you hear preachers actually preach, God has given you a brain, expects you to use it. In Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 1. Verse 1 says, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You can see how difficult this would be for somebody who had a confidence in the flesh, who'd been using their minds, all the time. And now you explain to them you need to become like a little child. The disciples were arguing. They were saying, who is the greatest? They're probably comparing their talents, their skills, their abilities. But they were not comparing themselves to Christ. And like I said in the previous sessions, that's dangerous. Christ was the greatest because he completely submitted himself to God. He never used his divine power. He got all his wisdom from seeking God and striving to know the will of God. You can do the same. My question is, where did you get your wisdom? Was it from the world? If it was, that's devilish. Does your wisdom keep your flesh comfortable? If it is, it's devilish. But if you got your wisdom from getting on the narrow way, we call that godly wisdom. And in that situation, you may have made a few mistakes. You had to strive, but you got some godly wisdom at the end of the day. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The world is passing away for the sake of his bride, as I've said. Paul was perishing on the outside, but inwardly, he was being renewed daily. Is that how you experience it? When a trial comes along, you may grow spiritually every time, if you're doing it properly. It's not a case of up and down. It's a case of daily. Paul was using every single opportunity. We're told to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. These are some of the conditions for developing your spiritual life. Can't seek your spiritual life if you're not seeking, if you're seeking other things. Are you seeking anything other than the kingdom of God in your life and his righteousness? Now is the time to use the grace and mercy of God. You'll always need more grace at higher levels of maturity. So now is the time to invest and be strong in the grace. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 25, and we're going to read to verse 29. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26. And these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it taught you that you should abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. As I've said, eternal life is not just living forever. Eternal life starts now. It starts now on the narrow way. Hearing and obeying God. You cannot be trusted with making the right decisions. You need a little bit of pressure. Eternal life doesn't work on the broad way. Those using the gift of eternal life have the ability to test what they hear. They can discern if something is true or truth. They may not know why something is not the truth, but that is why we need to study. So if you have a situation like that, please take time to study. You can even say to someone that you are hearing, what you're hearing is not the whole truth. Be sure that everyone who is born of him is righteous. Not everyone born again is righteous, but everyone born of God is righteous because he is Christ-like. Everything in him that he is doing comes from God, and he is listening and doing what he says. He's not being distracted. You're waiting patiently for God's way of escape, and you rely on the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. So in situations like this, you rely on God's anointing, and you will be able to abide under the pressure and not sin. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 20. Verse 20 says, for all the promises of God are in him, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God. Verse 22. Who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. In the book, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, that's Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, on As Your Foundations Deepen, on page 122, Joseph Hedgecott writes this. Pressure is good for you. You may be tempted to take over the lordship and depressurize a difficult situation. However, if you are determined to stand on what God says, His grace will give you the strength you need. Every believer's spiritual foundation can handle pressure to a certain point. If you can handle 1,000 units of pressure, He does not assign you 1,500 units of pressure. If you are stubborn and insist that you can handle more than He requires, He may allow you to fail as part of your training. You will leak, but He will show you how and why you leaked. As you learn from the situation, He will then open another door with the same amount of pressure because you have been strengthened and trained, and you will be able to handle it. You can endure pressure with contentment when you trust God. He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you're able to endure, but will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The promises of God are not at your command. They are yes and amen in Christ. There are many promises in the Word of God. But each of those promises, wherever you find them, cannot be accessed unless, first of all, you're in Christ. He has to choose which promise applies to your circumstances. Many times He will make this statement to you if you're walking in pressure. He will say to you, "My grace is sufficient." That's a message. It's a message to you to access and find that grace. It's not going to happen if you just sit there and say, "Oh, where's that, Lord?" You're going to have to seek. You're going to have to strive. The grace of God is sufficient. But that means, as part of enjoying that grace, you are going to have to stay humble. And you're going to be acknowledging God in more areas than you ever imagined in this period of time. That's how you get that grace to get you through that period. The grace is proportional to your humility. And your humility is based on you acknowledging God and not being confident in your own understanding. You have the acts, you have a gift, and it's called the gift of eternal life. It's not something you have to qualify for, as I've said. It's part of your communication system. And you can access God just at any situation, anywhere. The only condition is you have to believe. It came in the package of salvation, so it is by grace through faith. If you don't believe that that is what you have to do, you won't do it. But if you believe, you'll do it. You might find when you try to do all these things, something's not working. Joseph explained a very interesting situation in his own life, that when he would talk to God without realizing, doubt slipped out, that he would ever answer. That doubt blocked his faith. Same thing can happen to you. So now you have to break that habit. And one of the things that God was doing him at the time was giving him specific commandments to do. And he might do the same again with you. Be proactive with your communication system. There are many things that God may not answer, but there's some things he will definitely answer. He may not answer you the mysteries, because you don't qualify. But he will definitely answer you the simple things, and that includes asking God for a commandment. That's also asking God for the reason why you sin. In these areas, you get more grace. And as that grace increases, then he will then begin to answer in other areas. So your communication starts with, like I say, getting his orders. And everything else comes along that communication system as well. Okay, I'm nearly out of time here. A couple more verses. Revelation 17 and 14. Revelation 17 and 14. Says, verse 14 says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I'm really amazed at this battle at the end here. There's going to be one great last battle between a lamb and a host of armies on the earth. Who would you like to side for? Now, if you hadn't read this verse, you might decide numbers is on the winning side. But there's a whole multitude of people who are going to make war against the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. And he won. He conquered. He overcame every one of them. Not with a method, not with a formula, not with a thing they did last time. Jesus won that war by saying, Father, what do you want me to do? Joseph Hedgecock gives his own testimony of, Lord, what do you want me to do in many complicated situations, even life-threatening situations? And because of that, Jesus directed him what to do, and he overcame. You can do the same. In that era, we need to be called, chosen, and faithful. I believe you need to get that kind of lifestyle built in now. You may be called and not chosen. You are invited, but you need to also be chosen. Chosen means to be selected. If we read what we've been reading, what happens when you, what's the signs that you are selected from what we've been reading? They ended up in situations to purify their faith. If your faith is being purified in situations right now, you are, quote, chosen. May not feel like it, and you may not like it, but you are being chosen for something great. I hope you're jumping up and down with excitement right now. But that's exactly what we need to do. We are being chosen for something where we're going to be more faithful than we've ever been. You start with being called, then you're chosen, then you're faithful, in that order. Now is not the time to be lazy, especially when convicted. Paul wrote this in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1-4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1-4. Verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? This is verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Verse 4. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. I recommend that you read in chapter 4 of the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1. This is chapter 4 in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1. Understanding and enjoying your salvation. There's a whole list of things that we received in our salvation. If you read this book by Joseph Hedgecott, you'll see all those things that came in the package of salvation. Ask yourself, are you enjoying them? That's the question. Is it fun? Should be fun. At any level of pressure. In fact, they become more enjoyable as you go on. Joseph Hedgecott, the author of the book My Sheep Hear My Voice and Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, describes salvation like a radio set, a kit radio set that you could buy. This was back in the 1950s and 60s. This is something you could make at home. These kits included all the parts for for a working radio. All you had to do was follow the instructions. You were not to be lazy. You had to put all the pieces in the right place just to make it work. Your salvation includes the gift of eternal life that has to be received by faith. That is a very important part. Satan has been very successful in removing that piece from most people's package. So they try, it's being removed so that the radio doesn't play very well. Every part is important. You cannot leave out the parts you don't like or decide are unnecessary. Everything is spiritually discerned. So specifically rely on conviction, not human discernment. A package of salvation has to be accepted fully without any excuses for your flesh. Paul was writing to a group of believers left behind. They were still in Jerusalem, but now they were no longer inside the holy city. They didn't have the security that they had before. They didn't have the income they had before. They didn't have the prestige or the position they had before. They were now in humble circumstances. And here Paul wrote to them to be exceedingly earnest, is the word he used. People are not exceedingly earnest if they're thinking about their personal circumstances. But if you're exceedingly earnest about your salvation, then you're trying to get your radio set working in any conditions. Peter told them this on the day of Pentecost. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. Okay, I'm nearly out of time. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. As I've been saying throughout this teaching, we should be working out our salvation in fear and trembling. We have the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are investing in the word of truth, you are making every effort to get some conviction and working on things as you go. You're applying, hopefully, what you're learning, and your foundation should be getting deeper in this time. Here's the good news. In areas where you're not sinning, you have the true knowledge that God wants you to know now. He may deepen or widen your foundations later, but in any area where you're not sinning, you have the true knowledge that God wants you to have. Some of you may be just trying to gather more knowledge. You're not really interested in things that bother you or make you feel uncomfortable. Peter warned these Jews on the day of Pentecost. This was his warning to them, to beware of those using their minds to come to the truth. He said, save yourselves from this untoward The word untoward means corrupt generation. That's the generation we're in today. People have knowledge, they have information, but we never have all the information. As long as you believe you have all the information, then you will not ask God. There's never a more important time for us to look up and work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Joseph Hedgecott has given us, each one of us, some great guidelines. I do recommend that you read the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1. I'm going to get a copy of that book now, but I want Darren just to come, and we're going to stop here. But I hope that God has been speaking to you about your relationship with God in many different areas. Praise the Lord. So I'm just going to stop there. Do you want to just come and close? I'm going to get those books. Sorry, I didn't have a chance to show these. That's the one I mentioned earlier. It says, Wake Up, Time is Running Out. This is volume one. It says, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity. So this is already available in several languages, Spanish, German, English, and it's being translated into Romanian and a few other languages. So, sorry, that was too quick for the translators. So please, if it's in your language or you need it, it's probably, get in touch with us. Hopefully we have it. Titled as Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1. This one is available at the moment in English, and I think it's in German, isn't it? But it's, the title says Wake Up, Time is Running Out. This is Volume 3, and the title is Spiritual Maturity. And I mentioned Chapter 13 of this book, and there it talks about pressure. Talks about pressure. And those who are interested, you can look at that in a little bit more detail. It describes in here a spiritual building. Talks about pressing on to maturity. So please take your time to go through that. I particularly like the bit where he talks about pressure deepens your foundations. So those of you who are hearing what I'm saying today, you can get a lot more information from this book. That's Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity. Thank you very much.